Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. You know, the Word of God is very direct and clear when it comes to what God thinks of capital punishment. The Bible says, "Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And down through the years, capital punishment, in other words, if somebody takes another person's life, then that person's life is also taken. Down through the years, that has been a good deterrent. I mean, it has probably stopped a lot of murders because people have it, you know, where a capital system of capital punishment exists, people have it in their minds, if I take somebody else's life, I could pay the ultimate price with my life. I mean, somebody, in retribution, I could have to give up my life. Now, you know, today we've got to the point where we think we know more than God, and so for the most part, we've done away with capital punishment. And that's why the murder rate is where it's at, I believe, one of the main reasons. People just think they can kill somebody and there's going to be no repercussions. And so they have no second thought about breaking the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. You can tell by my comments that I believe in capital punishment. But let me ask you a question. What about somebody that kills somebody else accidentally, that had no premeditated thought, had no hatred in their heart for that person, but just by accident killed somebody? Like, I'll give you a couple examples. Like you were out chopping wood with your axe, and the axe handle, head came off the handle, flew through the air, hit somebody in the head, and killed him. Or if you were out throwing stones, and maybe you were throwing them into the woods, and you didn't see that there was a person in there, and as you hurled one of the stones into the woods, you hit that person in the head and killed them. Now, that person that you killed accidentally, again, with no premeditation, with no hatred in your heart, it might have been somebody that you knew and disliked, maybe even hated. Might have been. Again, you didn't kill him on purpose, just worked out that way that, you know, when you threw the stone, didn't see him, you hit him in the head, somebody didn't like, somebody you hated, somebody maybe even wished was dead. But it could have been somebody that you did not even know. Or it could have been somebody that you cared about and even loved. That happens. There might be people in those situations that still would want to take this book and say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You killed somebody, you deserved to be killed. Again, the person committed murder, but it wasn't premeditated, it wasn't out of a heart of hatred. Joshua chapter 20, we see the implementation of God's plan for how to deal with that, with those situations. And by the way, the examples I made up of the axe head coming off the stick, that's a biblical example. Somebody throwing a stone and hitting somebody and not seeing them, that's a biblical example, not examples that I made up. And God, again, in Joshua chapter 20, we see the implementation of God's plan to deal with those situations. And we're going to talk about tonight the cities of refuge that God had set up to deal with those very situations. God started talking about it, and you don't need to turn to it. Keep your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 20. But he started talking about it in Exodus 21, where the Bible says in verses 12 and 13, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. But if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whether he shall flee." In other words, if a person lies in wait and kills somebody, they need to be put to death. But if somebody kills somebody accidentally, God says, I'm going to appoint a place for them, for the slayer, the person that kills the person, to flee, to find refuge. And then he spelled it out more specifically in the book of Numbers, chapter 35. Again, you don't need to turn to it. Let me just turn back there and read a few verses for you. Numbers 35, beginning in verse 10, where the Bible says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares." In other words, accidentally. "And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye shall have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares or accidentally may flee thither." And then moving down to the same chapter, verse 22, "But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity," without hatred, "or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stones wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because the slayer should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possessions. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings." And so when Moses, before they crossed the Jordan River, when they were east of the Jordan River, when he took the land of Sihon and Og, he did what God said for him to do. Again, you don't need to turn to it. I'm going to turn back. I'm making my way through. We started with Exodus, Numbers. Now I'm going to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read from chapter 4, verse 41. "When he took the land, then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites." And so when Moses took the land of Sihon and Og, he said, okay, we're going to do what God told me to do. We're going to take these three cities, and they're named there, and they're going to be cities of refuge. And now, in Joshua chapter 20, Joshua is doing the same thing in the land of Canaan. He is doing what Moses told him to do. So look at your Bibles, Joshua chapter 20. "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." In other words, appoint or name or sanctify. Set these three cities apart that they will be cities of refuge. And by the way, I told Moses to do this, and Moses told Joshua. And so Joshua, now you need to do, you need to carry this instruction out. Again, three cities east of the Jordan, three cities west of the Jordan in the land of Canaan. And from a geographic standpoint, these cities were strategically located. Supposedly, wherever you were in the land of Israel, Wherever you were in the land of Israel, you could get to one of these cities in a half a day's journey. So when God picked them out, told Moses which three to pick, and told Joshua which three to pick, he picked them out. So geographically, again, wherever you were, you could get there quick. You could get there in a half a day's journey. And as we read, these cities were for everybody. Everybody that accidentally killed somebody. Everybody that accidentally committed murder. It doesn't matter if you were an Israelite or if you were a stranger. In other words, not an Israelite, but somebody that lived with Israel, like many of their servants were not Israelites, and that they lived there. If one of their servants, the Bible calls them stranger. If a stranger committed murder by accident, they could also flee to a city of refuge. Or a sojourner among them. In other words, if somebody was just passing through, if somebody was just like a tourist visiting the land of Israel and killed somebody accidentally, they too could take advantage of these cities of refuge. And we're going to see, we haven't read it yet, but we're going to see when we name the ones in Canaan, all of these cities were on a hill. They all, the three that are named in the land of Canaan, they talk about being in the mountain of. They're all in a hill. Now, I sort of think that was because at nighttime, and you were running from somebody and wanted to get to one of these cities, God put it on a mountain so that the lights of the city would shine. And even at night, and you probably were traveling at night if you accidentally killed somebody and the revenger of blood was after you, that you could see where you needed to go and get to one of these cities of refuge. All right, look at verse 3. That the slayer that killed any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Again, the purpose of the cities, of these six cities, was to provide refuge, a place of safety for that person that committed unintentional murder, accidental murder, that you could provide, that you could find a place of safety so that somebody that wanted to take revenge couldn't get you. So that somebody that wanted to take revenge couldn't kill you. So again, God set these cities up. Now look at verse 4. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. So you get to the city. You stand in the gate. You meet with the elders of the city. You explain what happened. Now, by the way, all the elders in the cities of refuge were Levites, because every city of refuge was a Levite city. Now remember, the Levites were a tribe, one of the 12 tribes, but they did not get an inheritance, okay? They did not get an inheritance. Their inheritance, the Bible says, was the Lord. And so they got cities, 48 of them to be exact. And by the way, chapter 21 of Joshua names those 21 cities and talks about the different tribes that they came out of. Every tribe, the 12 tribes that did get an inheritance, that did get land, gave some cities to the Levites. But so that was their inheritance, 48 cities. The Levites had no land to plant. They had no crops to harvest. Their gain, so to speak, was part of the offerings that the people brought to the tabernacle. That's how they were supported. They were supported by the other people. And so the six cities that God set up as cities of refuge were six of the 48 cities that the Levites got. And so when you killed somebody accidentally, you went running to one of these cities and you went to the gate. You explained to the elders who were Levites what had happened. And then, like that verse says, they gave you, they took you in, and they gave you a place. A place. I want you to think about that with me for just a second. That was not only a place to live, a place of refuge, a place of safety, but it was also a place of provision. They provided for you. You couldn't go out and farm. If you left the city, we read about it, if you left the city and the avenger of blood found you, they could kill you and not be held accountable. So, I mean, you were sort of a prisoner. Well, maybe that's not the right word. You just decided for your own safety to stay in the city. And so the people that took you into the city, the Levites, not only gave you a refuge, a place of safety, but they gave you a place of provision. They fed you. They clothed you. They took care of all your needs. Now look at verse 5. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. So again, if the avenger came and said, hey, this guy killed my brother, he killed my sister, I know he killed him accidentally, but I want revenge. And the Levites at the cities of refuge would say, no, we are following God's command. We are following what God told us to do. If this person comes out of the city, he's all yours. But as long as he's in the city, he is under our protection. He is under our refuge. We are not only going to give him safety, we're going to provide for his needs. Verse 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from which he fled. So the slayer stayed in the city of refuge until the high priest that had been anointed and that was high priest at that time, until he died. Then that slayer could return unto his own city. When the high priest died, the Levites in that city of refuge had fulfilled their responsibility in providing safety, refuge, and provision for that slayer. Now, I've studied this, and Brother Harry, and well, let me just say, all you Bible scholars, and if I start naming them, I'm going to name everybody in here. All you Bible scholars, help me with this, but I've studied this extensively. The slayer, after the death of the high priest, could return unto his city. But if the avenger of blood was still around, there was nothing to stop him from taking revenge. Now, he would be held accountable for taking that revenge. Okay? Now again, if the high priest was still alive and the slayer got out of the city and the avenger of blood caught him outside of the city, he could take his vengeance, kill him, and not be held accountable for his blood. But after the high priest died, the slayer could go back home. But if the avenger was still around and wanted revenge, he could still kill him. But only he would have to stand accountable for taking that person's life. Now, and again, the punishment for that would that person would be killed. Now, you think, preacher, why would you make this strange point? Because you'll see it when I close out in just a minute why it's so important that I make this point. So look at verse 7. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and in Mount Naphtali. Look at they're all in mountains. And Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Okay? So here's three cities. One from Naphtali, one from Ephraim, one from Judah. Naphtali was the northernmost inheritance in the land of Canaan. Judah was the most southern inheritance. Ephraim was in the middle. And so again, these three cities were geographically, strategically located so that you could get there in a half a day. Look at verse 8. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho, eastward, Again, we read these cities in the book of Deuteronomy. They assign Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Again, six cities. Let me just go ahead and finish the chapter. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood when he stood before the congregation. Now, quickly, these cities paint a picture of the refuge that we have from the penalty of sin in Christ Jesus. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. But we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives us refuge from the penalty of our sin. And like the book of Hebrews says, what we have in Christ Jesus is a whole lot better than some of the pictures that were painted in the Old Testament of what we were going to get. Let me give you a couple of examples. The cities of refuge were only good for accidental murder. The refuge that we get in Jesus Christ from sin is not only good for accidental sin, but it's good for deliberate sin as well. I wish I could tell you tonight that most of my sins were accidental. I wish I could tell you that most of the sins that I've committed in my life were committed by accident. There have been some, but I'll be honest with you tonight, the vast majority of my sins were deliberate. I knew what I was doing. I knew I was displeasing God, and I did it anyway. Under the cities of refuge, most of the time I could not run to that refuge because they were only for accidental sins. But the refuge I can find in Christ Jesus covers every one of my sins, whether they were accidental or deliberate. Like the cities of refuge, refuge in Christ is available to all. Just like the cities of refuge were available to the Israelite, to the stranger or the sojourner, so the refuge available in Christ Jesus is available to every person. Whosoever will may come. Nobody is excluded. Doesn't matter their heritage, doesn't matter their social standing, doesn't matter their education. It's available for everybody, just like the cities of refuge. And just like the cities of refuge were close, I mean, you could get there in a half a day. They were on a hill so you could see them at night. So the refuge that we have in Jesus Christ is close. It's just a prayer away. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And like the cities of refuge, not only are we given refuge from the penalty of sin, we are given provision. Because when we come into the refuge that we have in Jesus Christ, He will supply our every need according to His riches in glory. But let me give you another better one. And this is why I was so particular in talking about what happened when you left the city of refuge. When you left the city of refuge, you left because the high priest died. You were able to go back home. But again, if the avenger of blood was still around and wanted to take revenge, he could take revenge. When the high priest died, the Levites in the city of refuge had fulfilled their responsibilities under what God told them to do. When the high priest died, we have something better. Because our high priest never dies. He lives forever. We never have to leave the city of refuge. We never have to come outside of Christ because our high priest never dies. And again, what, like the book of Hebrews says, you know, we look back at some of these pictures in the Old Testament, and they paint wonderful pictures of what we have in salvation. But when we strip that glass darkly away from it, and we get to the New Testament, and we get to look at what Christ offers us in salvation, it's far, far better than any picture that's painted. Now, real quick, I know I'm out of time. But if you look at what the names of the cities mean, and just take me 2 minutes, so just bear with me for a couple of minutes. If you look at what the cities mean, the names of the cities mean, it also talks about the refuge that we have in Christ Jesus. It talks about that one that gives us the refuge. The name Kadesh means holy. The one that gives us refuge is holy. The name Shechem means a shoulder, and the government rests on his shoulder. The name Hebron means fellowship, and we are not only given refuge in Christ Jesus and provision, we enjoy his fellowship within it. The name Bizar means a fortification, and again, nobody can penetrate that fortification we have in Christ Jesus. Ramoth in Gilead means highly exalted. And God has exalted the one that has given us our refuge, and he sits at the right hand of the Father right now. And then Golan means joy. It means joy. And we have joy unspeakable and full of glory in our refuge. Our refuge. All right. Sorry for keeping you a couple minutes over. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.